Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
At some point, just about everyone has been out along the highway, driving along, ignoring the subject of our next story. Some of you may be ignoring it right now, even as it races alongside your car. I'm talking about the modest hero of the American landscape, the high-tension power line. Reporter Ike Sriskandaraja spoke with two explorers who just completed an investigation of these overlooked giants. Their project aims to uncover the secret life of power lines.
So these two guys, a cartographer.
My name is Brian Rosa.
And a photographer.
My name's Adam Ryder.
Have been fascinated by power lines from a very young age.
I spent a long time in the car with my parents on really long car rides, and I was the only child, so I would be looking out the window a lot.
Looking out the window, Brian and Adam both noticed these gently undulating, curvy lines.
I used to follow them with my finger, kind of going up and down in almost sort of like a wavelength pattern when I was in the car.
There's something dreamy about the power lines and the land under them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a really unique kind of tract of land that doesn't have any development on it except for itself. And so it's kind of, in a way, it's really pristine and untouched and virginal. And it's kind of like romantic and magical in that way.
Something inviting.
Doesn't appear to be monitored, and there's like nobody out there, so you can kind of imagine yourself, or I would imagine myself, like building a little house on there, you know, living alone or something like that.
Well, young Adam didn't end up moving there.
I'd like to think he was that cool.
But this past year, he and Brian got a grant from Rhode Island's Arts Council to investigate and photograph the high tension lines that stretch over most of Rhode Island. So they drove out to a small town called Burrville, parked their car, and started walking.
When I got out of the car, I tended to walk along the power lines in whatever direction was opposite of the way that Adam was going.
And that's when Brian heard something strange.
When we first started walking along the power lines, I thought that there were a lot of cicadas. It didn't actually occur to me that there's this excess energy escaping from these power lines that are actually making a constant electronic hiss all the time.
These seemingly empty swatches of land are filled with sound.
They make a loud buzzing sound.
Maybe you've noticed some sort of sound too as you were driving by pole after pole after pole.
They provide a rhythm if you're driving past them on the highway. Like if you're a commuter going past all these poles and they're evenly spaced. Spaced. But yeah, they kind of create a visual rhythm as they travel along the state.
Like a heartbeat. These pillars are more than just dead trees. They really have a life of their own. And as Brian and Adam continued to hike along the lines, they saw that the land under and around the pylons is filled with a lot more than just sound.
We were probably trespassing most of the time that we were there. There were a whole lot of other people doing that too, walking their dogs, riding their ATVs.
We even found a stop sign on one of the power line poles, and it was really crazy. I couldn't figure out why it was there or who it was meant to protect, but it was seemed to be put up for like motocross people or something. It was totally funny.
And with a bit of amateur archaeology, Brian turned up even more.
Just seeing a fire pit that someone made and a few rocks with a wooden board across them where someone was sitting, and people would just, you know, go have fires and sit around and drink and be delinquent. And it kind of made me think back to my teenage years a little bit.
The power lines carve out a space for people to meet. But Brian and Adam say they connect us in another way.
By following these power lines, which seem to cut through disparate areas that aren't necessarily connected, when looking from above, you actually see that there's a continuum of rural to suburban to urban, back to suburban to industrial, and that they're all part of a vast network.
What's really I think actually awesome is the best word I can use to say. What's really awesome about seeing kind of this parade of power lines through the landscape, especially in rural areas, is that we're kind of seeing these tendrils connecting humanity kind of as one like large organism. And it's a cool way of looking at us. You know what I mean?
These are the power lines that bind. For Living on Earth, I'm Ike Sriskandaraja.
Ryan Rosa and Adam Ryder's Powerline photographs and maps are on display at the Stairwell Gallery in Providence, Rhode Island through February 5th. Or, to see some of the pair's photos, visit our website, loe.org. On the next Living on Earth, Alfred Hitchcock's movie The Birds thrilled and chilled audiences when it was released in the 1960s, but few viewers knew it was based on real-life events.
The movie suggested that they were actually attacking people. What was probably happening is they were poisoned and they're disoriented and they're just simply flying into things.
And the mysterious poisoning is still happening today. What's sickening California wildlife? Next time on Living on Earth.